Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Mark Meek. Your co-host is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm so glad that you joined us tonight of another episode of Sunday Night Live.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And I'm so excited because we have one of our favorites on tonight, Mr. Marlon Sparks.
Can we give him favorite status already?
Oh, come on. Absolutely.
Well, I had to throw in there one of my favorites.
One. We got it.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, you know, we gotta watch out, see. Hey, Marlon, what's going on?
Yeah, Marlon's, boy, let me tell you, good stuff. I'm telling you, God is on the move. I heard that song and I am in total agreement. It is amazing.
Amen.
What's happening in the panhandle of Texas, people would not believe that. They call it Podunk USA. And yeah, I remember when I first came out here, some of my friends from down in South Central Texas and all were so beautiful. And man, it's this gorgeous country down there. Said, you're going up to that godforsaken country? I said, well, that's why God sent me there. Yeah, but it's not, if it's godforsaken, it won't be for long because that's where we're going.
Well, that's just all about perspective now.
Right, exactly. I said, and God didn't forsake it anyway. I said, man forsook God. God didn't forsake man. We're going to go stir them up.
Amen.
And man, we're being stirred up. This is it. We are seeing some just unbelievable things. We're having more families come in, young married couples coming in. It's just really supernaturally. And I say that, there's some are really getting hungry to invite their friends. That's a big part of it. And they're doing that and inviting them in. And it's just, boy, there's an explosive growth right now that I truly don't know what we'll do Easter Sunday.
Amen. That is so true. And so, And so for some of our listeners that are listening to Marlon for the first time, he pastors a church there in Perryton, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of that church again?
Victory Family Church.
Family Church.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely, and you know, you talked about how people are just, people are coming in and they're drawn in and you just see that so much everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. You know what you do, and I'm hearing from some of my preacher buddies around the country that are experiencing the same thing. And I don't know if it's because of what we're seeing, and I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, some of the things we're seeing in our country and some things that are happening in the government and things of that nature. I'm sure that's a part of it, but I just know it's very prophetic, and I know it's something that, you know, that I know will happen. And we talked about the last days a moment ago, and I just know there's a supernatural thing happening right now, and just a gravitational pull of the Spirit of God bringing people to Him, and I believe, you know, every church can participate that's open to a move of God. So I'm not leaving any church out, but I know He is sending people specifically to people that are open to the move of the Spirit of God,
that's
to a life-changing gospel, and that's what He's sending them to. that's kind of exciting to see. Yes. That's what's happening.
And actually, part of that song that I really like, when God is mm-hmm. on the move, but when God says, send me, when people say, send me, and I will go. And that's exactly what we're talking about is being right. willing to say, yes, I will go. Yeah. I will do.
Absolutely. You know, and I just said, you know, and I've said it for a long time. I was one time we had a group of young people that were in our church. They had a band and different things. And man, there were kids came from all over the area and came. And after the service that night, it had been raining outside. I don't know how long ago that was, but obviously it wasn't recent. But
the other day.
Yeah, the other day. Yeah. Service, everybody had left, and I'm kind of walking out of the church, kind of looking things over, and I'm telling you, Art, we got a long hallway that goes into our sanctuary carpeted, and it was a filthy, muddy mess. And I just went, oh, man, I got to get that up. We got people that would do that, but I said, man, I can't wait. So I'm down on my hands and knees, sort of complaining in my mind. I'm going, oh, man, mm-hmm. tracking this. Right? And it's like the Lord said, you will get used to it. Said, cause don't be concerned about your nicety, cause I'm not sending you people that are all that nice. I'm sending you that kind. That's the kind I'm going to send you. I'll send you the clean, but I'm going to send you the dirty.
That's
and
right.
I'm going to send you the, you know, and we had somebody from our town that everybody knows is like a town drug addict. I mean, everybody in the world knows it. And they were at our service, and somebody after church had kind of left it a little bit early. We couldn't get to them. And somebody said, hey, did you see who was in church? Can you believe that? I said, yeah, I believe it. Well, I just stand there here. And I said, well, I called them here. I called them in. I said, that's why we're calling in. I'm calling the... You know, I'm not, like Jesus said, they were complaining to Jesus. Hey, you're not hanging out with us. You know, we're not hanging out with us. We're the spiritual. We're the ones that have it all together. And you're not even hanging out with us. He knew I didn't come for you. He said, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I came for the lost. And if you can't deal with that, then that's just part of it. But, you know, that's who I'm after. I'm after the hurting. I'm after the messed up. You know, I'm after, you know, those that I can demonstrate my power to for a supernatural change of life. And so that's what we're calling in, and that's what we're seeing happen. That's what, man, we're seeing lives change and people just being, give their lives to the Lord. It's powerful.
And
it's just so fun to be a part of it.
Well, praise God. You know, it makes me think of that saying, which I know I'm not going to say it right, but where people that are not sick, they don't go to the doctor because they're not sick.
Right.
And so the people that are sick is, you know, they go to the doctor. And so, you know that saying, and I'm not quite for sure mm-hmm. how it goes, but y'all are following me here. And so.
I am following you. That's exactly right. I know exactly what you're saying. Of course, I say that very often. I said, you know, this is not a place for perfection. It's just not. It's a place. This is a hospital for the sick. And I said, it's in every phase of life, wherever you might be hurting or messed up, I said, this is your place. And the church, you know, the church has looked down, you know, looked down our noses at the down and outers and the, you know, all those that are struggling and suffering and dirty and addicted and all that stuff and come in maybe a little smelly or something. But I'm going to tell you something, they better hang on because this is a day when there's a drawing from the Spirit of God to bring in people of all, you know, sizes, shapes, colors, creeds, every kind of background you can name.
That's right.
That are going to call on the name of the Lord. And it's the most exciting thing. And you know, I love our people that have been around for a long time that are just overwhelmed, just so thrilled at a brand new. We've always had pretty good sized church and people in and out though all the time. And, you know, and boy, but this has just been something above and beyond what we ever, I mean, people that I've been here for 40 years, just celebrated our 40th anniversary at the church. And, you know, there are kids here that grew up with our kids that have never left Perryton. And, you know, so 25, 30 years could have been here and all of a sudden they're here. You know, we're like, where you been? It's just, you know, it's just, well, what happened? I don't know. Something just said we need to you know, come to God. Something just saying we need to come to church. And something just saying. I said, well, why here? Well, man, it's just like we, when I had like my quote unquote vision or dream of red wave revival that I saw sweeping across this region, I saw in that vision that there were like, it's like, the field of dreams. It said, if you build it, they'll come.
Yeah.
Type deal that it said people will, you know, he said, Ray, people will come. Don't even know why they're pulling in here, but they'll just pull in here. Don't even know why. I said, that's the very word of the Lord that he showed me. The people will just be passing by. They'll just pull in. They don't even know why. They'll just come in and walk in with wide eyes going, why am I here? But God knows why they're here. And that's really and truly, that's what we're seeing. It's just, I don't even know why we came. We just thought we'd try victory. I thought, well,
that's right.
Nice try. And it's not really church, you know, and it's fun because it's not really churched people. It's just people that are starting from the bottom. You're starting from scratch, and that's what you like. Don't have a lot to unlearn, do they?
That's right.
They're just coming in to a brand new life in Jesus. And man, it's fun, just really fun to be a part of it.
Yeah, and you said they don't know why, but we know why, because the Spirit of the Lord has drawn them in.
Oh, and you just know it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And it's just such a something that gets a hold of the body of the church that you've been, you know, what are you shocked about? You know, you've been praying. It's like when, was it Peter that was in prison or whatever, and they were having like all night prayer meetings, and he shows up to the door and they wouldn't open the door because they thought it was a ghost. We've been praying for him to get out of prison, and now here he's out and he's here, and we're going, ah, man, we can't believe you're out. Well, yeah, we're believing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're believing it because I can't believe they're here. Well, you ought to. We've been praying them in. We've been calling them in, and many of them by name, family members and whatnot, just calling their names in prayer meetings before the Lord, and just calling them out of darkness into the glorious light of God, and to receive an absolute miraculous touch from the Spirit of God. And that's what we're seeing from every denomination. It's just, it's glorious. Man, it's so good. Hungry, man. Just hungry for just to see God do something good in them. And it's been major fun.
Well, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? Following God is fun.
Yeah. If you get people to see that, of course, you know, people say to me, many, more than once it has been said, man, you're crazy. I said, well, you know what? I decided when I was a teenager, when I was 17 years old and really totally committed my life to the Lord, I just said, really to the Lord, I said, look, I'm not going to do this and be bored. I'm not going to do this and just sleep through the whole thing. I'm gonna hit it hard. I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna be serious when it's time to be serious. I'm gonna have fun. It'll be the most fun I've ever had in my life. And if it's not, I'm not doing it. And he said, you will experience life that you've never imagined. Life mm-hmm. in its fullest form and abundance.
Till it
overflows. What he offered us, mm-hmm. right? Come on, what he offered us. And so we're just jumping on it.
That's
and
right.
Being a part of that, and that's what we're seeing. And man. People love it. You know, my kids, you know, I'm there with my kids, you know, they're all grown now, and I just found out this week I'm going to be a grandpa again.
Well, congratulations.
Yay. In October. And my kids are so cool. They just say, Daddy, we always have fun. That you never made church, you know, religious. You never made it. You never beat us over the head with it. You always were energetic and excited about it. And you and mom and said, we just never did not like church, which is, I guess that's what, and they're all involved in some type of ministry and working for the Lord.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and they're just like, I mean, it's all we know, but it's not like, oh man, I can't wait for the day I get out of this house or I don't have to be involved in church anymore or go anymore. So, well, we never have not been involved. It's just fun to see what God can do in the heart of people that'll just commit themselves to him and say, I want that life you're talking about. And that's what we're getting. And that's what we're seeing in them and in our lives and the people that are fellowshipping with us now. it's pretty fun to be a part of it and know that we're really a part of something so powerful in the last days. You know, I've always said there's two kinds of people. You know, in 1 Timothy, he said, and we've talked about this on the show before, that there's one group that says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure and go through all this negative stuff. That they'll be turning away from God and not listen to the truth and all of that. And there is that bunch. But you know what? The same Bible says, in the last days, I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters are coming. And they're going to begin to, you know, move in the things of God and prophesy and be led of the Lord, to be used of God, to reach their generation for Jesus. So I said, we've got one of two ways we can go. Perilous times and the falling away mess, or the Holy Spirit being poured out when we're being drawn to Him into the fullness of God. And that's what, you know, we're decreeing. That's what we're saying. That's the part of the church that we're a part of. Holy Spirit outpouring, and we're not just talking about it, but we're experiencing it, and we're seeing God do some incredible things, man. It's beautiful.
That's great. That's great. You know, as I was thinking about that, you know, when people decide to follow, like what you're saying, to go with the positive side, or the good side, I guess I should say, that this, where God is pouring out His Spirit and people are saying yes, and when we get in there and in our role of what God has called us to do, we have to remember that we're all in the body, but we all are a different piece of that body.
Yes. Yeah,
so,
right.
So when we're Absolutely. Serving in that, it may not look like somebody, you know, what somebody else is doing, but let it be unique to what God is putting on your heart. Do what God is telling you to do.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, churches, you know, people are stepping up. You know, what can I do? I got some meetings with some guys this week that just simply said, I've been miserable for a couple of years. Miserable. Because I just want to find God's place for me in this move. And I said, well, we're going to take care of that this week, that God's going to do something supernatural in your life. You're getting plugged in big time, and you're going to work for the Lord. And it's going to be pretty awesome to see what God's going to do with you, simply because you said, God, I'm so hungry to be a part of your move, to be a part of that outpouring and be, you know, a hand extended of God to the community and to the regions. So it's people that are saying, hey, I'm seeing what's going on, and don't you leave me out of this. I want to be a part of it. And if you're listening tonight, whoever's listening said, look, I'm just kind of bored with all this. Well, get involved. You got to hook up. There's nothing boring about this thing. When you're coming against the enemies of people's lives and people's minds and families, things that are trying to destroy people, and you've got the answer to, you know, to bring people out of darkness into light, from death into life, from selfishness and hatred into the love of God. Man, you're a carrier of that. Mm-hmm. And when we understand it, when we know we have it, then we, you know, put it into application. And man, that's when our life becomes, you know, that's our purpose. That's exactly our purpose. That's when we come into the purpose that God intended for us to walk in. That we're all anointed, all believers are anointed and appointed for some type of outreach, some type of ministry, some type of life that they can give to somebody that's around them. And when you come into it, you just see the power of God at work. We got a lady in our church who owns, she's a masseuse, and she gives massages, and there's hardly anybody. I mean, literally, I truly don't think there's anybody that's ever been face down on her massage bed that she has not preached the gospel to. She said so many times, I'm ministering to the ladies, and, you know, there's that hole you look through to get the massage in that table. And she said, I'm handing Kleenexes underneath that hole while they're weeping, and I'm trying to work on them, but yet I'm sharing Jesus with them. And she literally has about, and I'm not exaggerating, she has about a third of this church full of the people that she's ministering to.
Well, praise God.
That she's just bringing them in. And I mean, she is just so lit up about it. And I mean, when they're, you know, and I said, we don't get to see the full joy. I said, well, you know, leave them a little bit lost when they come to church, and we can experience some of their being found. So, no, it's too late. By the time I get through with them, they're found. And so they're coming to church fired up and already, you know, enjoying the Holy Ghost and enjoying the things of God before they ever get to church. That's what I want to do. You know, so that's a key too, right? Revival in the marketplace.
That's right.
Right. I mean, not just wait, these four walls, kick these things down and get out in the streets, you know, and declare the goodness of God. And more people are coming to that, being drawn to the light of God and the life that is in Him. And that's all we have to do. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me just tell you. You know, basically, I'm lost. I was lost. Now I'm found. Blind, now I see. I was down. Now I'm up. I was, you know, broke. Now I'm blessed. I mean, whatever God did for you, people are waiting to hear that. I don't know any scriptures that I can really use on them. Don't have to. Just let me tell you what Jesus did. And I'm learning. We're studying the Bible. We're learning things. But right now, all I have to go on is an eyewitness account that Jesus is alive because He did something in me that saved my life. Yeah.
That is so good, because, you know, that's actually one of the – we just started a small group study on Wednesday nights, and that is the very thing that we're doing is one at a time. And it's going out and reaching out one at a time. And all it is, it's not going out and preaching. It's going out and just telling people what Jesus did for you. Tell them your story. What is your story? Mm-hmm. And
right.
Just talking about how you're doing that. And I really liked it this last week because they were talking about, we always say, God, what do you want me to do? I want to do whatever I can for you. But mm-hmm. God is saying, come to me and let me work in you. Come to me and I'll work through you.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not us that's actually doing it. It's Him doing it in us and through us.
Right. That is good. Absolutely. And it can happen for literally anybody. Somebody, I can't talk to people. Can you write a card? Can you text somebody on your phone? I'm just comfortable in front of people. Well, sneak up on them. I mean, use your imagination. Use any gift that God would give you to just, you know, we did that. It's been some time back now, but I just said, you and everybody, I want you this week, get a card, get a letter, something typed out, written out, however you do it, and send it to your families.
Mm-hmm.
You're just send them out. Said, hey, hope everything's going well with you. Let me just tell you guys, Jesus is touching our family. We're so excited about what God's doing for us. I said, first, you'll probably shock them. And then when they get up off the floor, they're going to go, man, you need to read this. Something's happening, man. In so-and-so's family. And they'll be drawn to that. I mean, if it can happen, because they'll probably say, if it can happen for them, dear Lord, it'll probably happen for us.
Yeah, if it'll do it for them, oh,
right, man, if it'll do it for them,
that's right.
The least candidate that I would even think of that anything good for God would happen for them, as ornery and mean and sinful as they are. I just can't believe God would have anything to do with them. Well, that's exactly the ones God works with the most.
That's
those
right.
Those are the most down and the most out and the most hurting. Look at the people He ministered to, man. He wasn't afraid to minister to the drunkards, to the prostitutes. There's some in that wild light, how He talks about, you know, drunkards and prostitutes and so many times in His ministry about, and people are going, oh man, why would He do that? What? Cause He wants you to, what we would consider societal, go to the bottom. Man, that's dragging the bottom right there. The religious people all got mad and they said, why aren't you with us? You know, like I said a while ago, be with us. He said, come on. You got it. That harlot is down on the ground washing your feet with her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Make her get away. He said, guys, are you kidding me? Wow. Well, why is she doing that? I love what Jesus said. He says, you know what? Those who are forgiven much love much.
Yes.
That's why she's doing what she's doing. She has found the love of God. And those that find the love of God, I'll tell you right now, those that know how much they've been forgiven will, that'll be an expression of gratitude and thanksgiving and glory to God that'll come out of them. And they'll be, you know, they'll be from the, you know, saved, as we say, from the guttermost to the uttermost, right? They'll be so turned on to, you know, the things that God is doing in their lives, and it will be something that they'll wear. People will see it on them. And that's part of the favor of God, the series we've been talking about for several weeks at the church. Favor is something that is worn. They will see it on you. They will see that, yes, God is with you, and that God is upon you, and that God is doing things for you that they never dreamed imaginable could happen for you. And when they come to you and ask what's going on, you just look, hey, it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. It's all I can say. It's nothing I did but believe. It's just the Lord. It's incredible, man. And we're just watching people literally come into that and come into a life that's full. I was talking to him today. I was just thought of this a moment ago. I was the last, one of the last things I shared today in church. I just said, you know what? The gospel is just not about death. I said, what do you mean? Well, I said, you know, usually when we ask somebody, you know, do you know the Lord? The way we get into that is this. If you died today, would you go to heaven? And we associate that with death, which is okay because that's true. But that's the approach we have. And when we do our invitations, oh, bow your head, close your eyes. If you die today, do you know that you'd be in heaven? No, would you be in hell? What is the answer to that question? And that's what we'll use. Right. But I just thought, you know what? And that's part of it. But you know what? This sounds crazy, but that's a very slight part of this. How about, you know, you're missing the abundant life that we talked about a while ago. Jesus came not just to rescue you from hell, but he came to give you abundance of life. You know, again, in with its fullness, till it overflows. Joy, life to, I like what it says, like we talked about in the Amplified, life to enjoy to the full, till it overflows. And most people aren't enjoying it. They're miserable with it. I did a memorial service for a young man, 35 years old, yesterday, that took his own life. And I just thought, man, come on. My heart just ripped as I just thought, man, what, bless your heart, what were you thinking? You obviously missed somebody telling you about the good life in Jesus. Yeah. You know, the good side of Christianity, the blessed side, the powerful life that you can have in him. Yeah, you get to go to heaven when you die, whatever, but hey, this is really not, I don't even think, to be built around death. It's handy to have when you do die, but man, it's so much more than that.
That's right. And it's just having that, you know, being able to walk in that fullness of joy and walking in that power that God intended us for here and now. And
absolutely.
Yes. And carrying that with you here and now, and not being like, well, I'm just going to get through till I get to the sweet by and by. No,
that's exactly right.
We're not going to do that. God wants us to be powerful. Yeah. He wants us to be, strong and walk in the fullness of joy and to the full till it overflows.
Yeah. And then we've done that in the church. You know, we've sung when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, what are we rejoicing in right now? Man,
that's
thank
good.
God for we can rejoice there. But my goodness, what are we rejoicing in here? And if we're not rejoicing in something here, we've got our fire insurance. And I'm not against that. I mean, I know that people will get that. They'll give their life to the Lord and live like they're going through hell the rest of their lives. And go to heaven when they die, but miss out on all the fullness of God that he's at the joy, the power, the favor that he wants to bestow upon us in this life and the eternal life in the world to come. But man, there's something God wants to do for us and in us and through us here that people can see and be drawn to the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of Jesus, and that he literally changed my life. He saved my life. and gave me life abundantly right here on this planet. And it's, that's the message we're portraying. That's what we're decreeing. That's that you're going to leave here today from our services knowing that God's going to affect your Monday, not just your future later way on off when you die.
That's right.
He's going to affect your Monday through Friday. All week long, you're going to have an encounter with God. You're going to be singing. You're going to be rejoicing about the good things that are happening in your life because of the promises that you know about God that Jesus has offered you, and going to begin to walk in them and see his fullness come alive in you and live that life to the full.
That's right. And it's about relationship. You know, as you're mm-hmm. pressing in and you're doing and you're walking in those things, you're walking in that relationship with God, that those things come with that relationship. You begin to realize God in that. And you see him moving mm-hmm. and you learn who he is and what he
right.
has given you through that oh, wow. relationship. It's not a religion, but it's a relationship.
Right. Exactly right. And I was using today Psalm chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 that says, but let all who use and put their trust in you, Lord, let them rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Not a lot of that going on because you cover and shelter them. Let those who love your name be joyful and exult in you. For you, O Lord, bless the righteous man, the one who is in right standing with you. You surround him with favor with the shield. The word bless there, you bless the righteous. The word there is you empower him to prosper. So when you say God bless somebody, that isn't just to cover him, you know, on a sneeze. When you say God bless you, you need to know what you're saying, what you're invoking, what you're declaring over that person. When somebody says it to me, I say, hey, ooh, thank you. Wow. Yes, I received that. I love that. Thank mm-hmm. you for the blessing because you are speaking over me. You know, we bless our, you know, we bless our children. We bless our families. We bless our cities. We bless our churches. We bless our nation. God bless America. Empower this nation to
That's
prosper
right.
again in you. You know, not in this worldly mess and all the junk we're seeing vomited out of hell over society and over families and over people in different states around the country. Man, there's an empowerment to prosper in Christ that he is invoking over me individually and over my family and over our churches and over our cities. And that's our assignment, man, to render and speak blessing. Lord, you bless the righteous, those in right standing with you, and you surround them with favor. And I'll tell you something, when as we've been seeing through this study, the favor of God is amazing. When you know it's available, activate it by faith. Activate it through faith and declare it's available and I have it and I am walking in the favor of God. And if you could hear the testimonies, I say, if you get a favor, if something happens to you, the favor of God comes on you this week in some magnitude, you'll get up and testify about it in church. And they are coming in mm-hmm. with testimonies of what has happened. You won't believe this. I was told, you know, I just got a new job and they said it'd be 6 months before I'd get a raise. But I was here 2 weeks and got an unbelievable substantial raise. The favor of God. You know, they'll say, it's got to be the favor that I'm hearing about and believing for and activating by faith. It's got to be favor. I got a brand new job that I wasn't expecting to get. I was needing a new job and one was offered to me that I wasn't happy with. And then a booming job came and was offered to me, fell right in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff we're dealing with when you're talking about the favor of God. It's something that gives special privilege to. Favor means to do a kindness, a special kindness for, to afford advantages for success to, special assistance given to one that's walking in the favor of God, either human or angelic favor, to provide with advantages, partiality. I love that word.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 91 talks about it, right? Psalm 91 says, hey, it'll come on them. It ain't coming on you. It's not coming on your house right? Because you're walking in the favor of God. But it won't, you know, they'll fall over here, they'll fall over there, but it won't come nigh you. So that's just part of that supernatural favor that God has called us to walk in. And we can't be ignorant of it anymore. We've got to know it's available and activate it. And when we do, I promise you, oh man, there's an explosion of life that comes into us, and we're experiencing God right here on this earth.
That's right. And I bet you that's what you guys are experiencing at your church as well. If people are coming forth and telling about the favor that God is moving in their life, what an explosion of events and, faith strengthening, really experiencing the move of God in your church.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a young man, he was 37, 38 years old, got a couple kids. They go to our Christian school here, and one of the little boys, I think he's maybe 10, he was telling to his teacher, he said, pray, you know, they'd take prayer requests, of course, well, pray for my dad. Yeah, my dad's having trouble. So my dad can't, not even right now able to play with us. He's not even able to hardly walk across our living room floor that he has to sit down. He can't even hardly breathe. We don't know what's wrong with him. We've been to the doctor and they don't know what's going on and all of this. But they've been here. We've been talking about favor. We've been talking about, you know, God doing supernatural things for you. And they went in for a checkup, in Oklahoma City just the other day, went in for an exam, and the doctor's checking him all out and said, well, here's what's going on. These symptoms that I'm having trouble breathing, not very well. And they did an examination, and the doctor left the room and came in with a team. Boom, just running in there as fast as they could. He said, you're going to surgery right now. He said, what? He said, your main artery is 99% blocked. He said, you were a walking dead man. I can't believe you didn't drop 2 or 3 weeks ago. This could not be blocked this long and you still be alive right now. It's unbelievable. And they ran in, of course, immediately put in a stent, all these things, and just relieved everything. He's doing great. He was sitting in church today. They were rejoicing in the Lord. I was talking about them. They were back at the back of the church weeping and praising God for what he had done for them. And, you know, she had told me the other day, she said, you know what? It's just what you've been saying. It's just what you've been sharing with us. So we just came into the favor of God. He said, this was in the Widowmaker. And, she said, she laughed jokingly, said, I forfeited a huge insurance policy this past week. She said, it's okay. Cause I got my husband back. And she said, she's just kidding about it. But she said, you know what? That's what's happening.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that good? And man, they just, and I just kind of prophesied to him, you know, God never gives you favor that it's not with a purpose. Everybody you see in the Bible that God just gave supernatural favor to always had a purpose. You know, Joseph was going to save the world, feed the world, save the world. And he a long way around about it to get to it, had to go into the pit, you know, then got sold into slavery. Then went into, you know, Potiphar's house, and he goes, then gets in trouble there, goes to prison. There, and even in prison, you'll read through Exodus 39. It said, in prison, he found the favor. God was with him.
That's
and
right.
He was favored in prison. Then he got, the favor was on him so much that he got elevated to the palace. He took him, listen, everywhere he went, and I love what it says in Genesis 39 too. It says, here he is on an auction block. Brothers sold him into slavery, you know, threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery. And they take him into Egypt and put him on an auction block. Now that wasn't, you know, a real pretty sight, because back in that day, especially when you got sold as a slave, man, it was humiliating. You were stripped naked. They did examinations on your physical body that were horrible, to see if you had any diseases or anything wrong with you. And there he's, Joseph, standing there. And it's incredible what the Bible says about that. Cause in Genesis 39:2, it says when he's there on that auction block, it looks like all, you know, life is over. In the middle of that, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, did he look prosperous? I don't think so. Any sign of the blessing of God on him? Not a bit. But here's what he had. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. So I always share it this way. Prosperity is not about what you have. Prosperity is who you have. And what he knew, he had the presence of God with him.
That's right.
Then he knew he had the favor of God. And then the next verse says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand, and Joseph found favor in his sight.
That's
right. Blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and out in the field. Joseph was a goodly man, he says, and well favored. And that favor of God followed him. You know, Potiphar's wife lied on him, and they took him and put him in prison. And I'm sure he has a lot of questions, but all the while, God was still upon him. Him in prison, and in the verse where it says they bound him and put him in prison, and the Lord was with Joseph, showed him his mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Let me tell you something. That's under an old covenant, or in the new, that people will see that the Lord is with us. And that his favor is on us, man.
That's right.
We don't understand it. How come we're always giving you raises? How come it's just we always, you know, we've had people in our church, and one guy in particular on my board, he applied for a job many years ago, and he went into the guy, because we were talking about this favor thing, and he was just, you know, just a young kid in his early 20s. He goes into this place, and the guy said, why do you think I would hire you? He said, because the favor of the Lord rests on me. And he said, I promise you, it'll bless your business if you hire me. This guy started laughing. Said, and all of a sudden, he goes, what? He goes, I'm serious. I just tell you right now that the Lord will bless your business because of me, because I carry the favor of God.
Wow.
And the guy was a Christian. And he just goes, well, okay, let's see. And he did.
That's cool.
Years he was in that business, man, God bless that business, and God blessed him, and God blessed, he was able to lead several of the employees to the Lord, and just amazing things happened because he understood that he walked under a special favor from God that simply means this. You are, the favor of God always takes you to the right place at the right time, brings you into relationship with the right people for the right purpose.
That's right.
And it's always attached with purpose. You know, Mary found, the Lord is with you, Mary. President, the Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. You know, why? There was a purpose. She brought forth Jesus. I mean, you know, when the favor of the Lord is on you, you will always know. And I told that, you know, the man that the Lord had touched and miraculously spared his life with that heart issue. I told him today, I said, God spared you guys. It's not by accident. It's for a purpose. I said, now we're going to find your purpose. You're going to get hooked up. So we're going to work for the kingdom. And boy, they're crying and shaking their head. Yeah. We've got a story to tell, and we're going to let people know. And they have been. And it's just been fun. So I don't have any purpose. Well, know this, that the favor of God is upon your life. It's upon you. Because of what Jesus has done for you. And because of that, he's given your life a purpose. And I promise you, it's got something to do with, I say it this way, either going with somewhere with the gospel, or helping others go with the gospel.
That's right.
Maybe that's your purpose. You're helping someone go. I'm not a preacher. Can you help a preacher preach? Can you help a preacher go? A preacher may need to write a book. Can you help him write that book? Can you bless some ministry that's being effective somewhere, changing lives? We're all involved in it from a number of different angles and different areas. But find it and get involved and go for it and see the blessing of God in your life, touching you and your family.
That's right.
That's right. I get wound up about that because I'm mainly because we're seeing it. That's what's so fun.
Yes.
You just don't, not just talking. Is it just a little cute speech? You know, Paul said, I'm not speaking to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the power. And that's what we're seeing. We're talking about the favor, but we're seeing the favor. We're seeing the power in manifestation. And it's just, you can't, if you're ignorant of it, you'll never enjoy the fullness of it. Again, know it's available. Lord, I thank you. Your favor is available to me. And then activate it by faith and say, I will walk in the favor of God to be a blessing. Abraham, I'll bless you, make your name great, and you will be a blessing. That's the purpose. You know, Abraham walked in the favor of God. You'll see that in Genesis 12. The favor of God was upon Abraham because he said, I will bless you, make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. So the only reason the favor comes is for you to bless with what you've been blessed with. So
that's right. We're right? Blessed to be a blessing.
Big time.
That's right. Well, you know, one thing that just keeps coming up in my mind, and so maybe there's somebody out that's listening might be thinking this, but it said in that scripture that he blesses the righteous. And so when you read it like that, which I know you went on to say right standing with God, but he blesses the righteous. And when you automatically think about that, I think we tend to tag on a negative thing with that where I have to do everything I can to be right.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so somebody out there might be saying, you know what? I'm not righteous. I've done this and I've done that. So what would you say to those people that might be thinking that when you were saying he blesses the righteous and he's like, I don't know if I'm the righteous or not.
Oh, I went into great detail on that today. I'm talking about he blesses the righteous with his favor because I said, church, if you were to ask, I promise you, in the upper 90 percentiles of the church, if I were to go to over 90% of the churches in America today and get up before them and say, I want people to raise your hand in this church that are righteous, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, you would not get it. They would bow their head in sweet, you know, religious humility and, you know, well, I'm certainly not righteous. I mean, even have scripture for that. Romans says there's none righteous, no, not one. Mm. Well, no, that's not me. And not even talking to us there when he is declaring. And that's the whole key is that we have been, and even if we do get taught righteousness, it's righteousness by the works of the law or righteousness by the flesh, that if you are righteous, you earned it. You know, you're doing all these great things for God. You're praying, giving, loving, sharing, testifying, witnessing, knocking on the doors, doing all these things for God. And now you say, well, now he's probably righteous because he really witnesses and he really gives and he smiles a lot and blesses people and, you know, and helps feed the hungry and clothe the naked and all. Well, he's a righteous man, no doubt, because look at all that he does. It has nothing to do with what we do. The powerful thing is that he said in Romans 5:17 that we reign in that we will reign in life. And I love this through the abundance of his grace, which is unmerited favor. It's unearned and the gift of righteousness. Righteousness doesn't come upon us because we did a bunch of good stuff. And now I can say I'm righteous because I did a bunch of great things, a lot of great things. Not at all. No, that is something that when righteousness, as Romans 3 says, and Romans 5 says, Romans 5 mainly, just says that we have been made righteous by faith. Righteous through faith. Faith righteousness. That means, and people look at you funny when you talk about righteousness and say, how do you know you're righteous? And when you have to look at them and say, well, I believe I am. Mm-hmm. You believe, what do you mean you believe you are? Well, that's all I've got. It's faith righteousness now. It's not works righteousness. I'm righteous because I believe I am. I'm righteous by faith. Faith in what? Well, not faith in me and not what I've done for God, but faith in what God through Christ has done for me. Quit getting our eyes on our self-righteousness and self-works and start looking at what Jesus did for me,
yes.
I believe in what he did for me, and me believing in what he did for me makes me that righteous man.
Yes.
That things get done and accomplished through a righteous man that knows that he is. Again, I got to know that I am, and I got to activate it through faith. I am. I can't tell you how many times we say that and how many times our people will decree that and say it. And I'll have them say it and reinstitute that in their heart. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I will bore that into them. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Will I miss it? Yeah, I'll miss it as a righteous man. That's all I can say. And it's the constant knowledge of his eternal righteousness that brings me back and gets me back on course and helps correct my way, because I'm understanding the love of God and what he has made me to be, a righteous man in the sight of God, that when he looks at me, he doesn't see what I was. He doesn't see me as a sinner, as a beggar, as some outcast, or, you know, what I once was way back in the day, but he sees me as clean. God sees me in Christ. He sees me forgiven. He sees me blessed and empowered and anointed. That's how God sees me. So I simply say this, come into agreement. Don't agree with whatever, all the negative things that you think about yourself or that other people say about yourself.
That's right.
You got to start agreeing with what God says. If God says you're righteous, then say you are. If God says you're his beloved, then say I'm his beloved. You know, if God says that you're blessed, then decree that. I am blessed. Why? Because God said I am. And you will see proof of it. You'll see manifestation of that in your life on a continual basis. But it's something that God did for you, but you believed it and activated it. He said, we've been made righteous by faith, and we reign in life through the gift of righteousness. You know, you don't say, you know, I give you a gift. I don't say, well, here's 50 bucks. I just want to give that to you for a gift. Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Now I want you to mow my yard in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, no. Now here's a list of what I want you to do for me. Well, that's not a gift, right? That's a payment.
That's right.
Right? And so we've been treating it as such. Well, yeah, it's a gift, but now you got to do all these things to maintain it and to really deserve it. You've got to really do what God said. And of course we believe, you know, we're obedient and teach obedience. But the main thing is this, that we're teaching the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 says, you know, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is so good. Not about my perfect obedience that merits me any favors with God. What merits me a favor with God is believing that Jesus perfectly obeyed through the work of the cross, through the dying, that sacrificial death for us on the cross. And then, look out next Sunday. It's going to be party time. You're celebrating your greatest day on earth as Jesus being raised up from the dead.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
That's exciting. That is so exciting. You know, would you just pray for those people that are out there that might be, you know, struggling with that righteousness and receiving that by faith, and those that may not realize the favor that they have through that? Would you be willing to pray for those people for us?
Boy, absolutely. Yeah, people get a hold of this right now. If you're struggling with religion, I get it. I get it. Because religion always requires something of you. But Christianity, you know, religion is God in search, is man in search of his God. But Christianity is God came looking for man through Jesus Christ. And so you got to see that. And break out of that religious thing that says, you know, I've got to find my way to God through this and that or the other. No, God's found his way to you through Christ. So, Father, I pray today for people that are listening right now that are struggling in a relationship with God. They're Christians, maybe Christian people, but they're so defeated and they're so miserable
And they're just, they don't, you know, they just maybe been church hurt or just wounded somehow. Maybe a family hurt, something that's really ripped their heart out. And they're so down right now. But there is a way up. And it's called resurrection life and resurrection power. Resurrection, the law of resurrection says what is down must come up. So Father God, I thank you that today you'll give them a fresh revelation of identity. They're just going through you that I'm praying for right now, you're going through an identity crisis. You just forgot who you were. You don't know who you are. Really. And God is trying to bring that to you through the Holy Spirit. And I pray for an understanding that your eyes be open to the knowledge of the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus. You're not just so weak, beggarly bum of a sinner that just is going to barely get into heaven. No, man, you have been made his beloved, his righteousness. Yes. Father, I pray that their heart will be open to that today and that they'll come to the fullness of the love of God. You got to know how much God loves you today. If you don't know anything else, Paul said, know how much God loves you. Know the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of it. The power that works in you is the love of God that he has for you. And he does love you. He's not giving up on you.
That's right.
And I'm praying that you'll come to the brightness of the rising of the Son of Righteousness and see that and walk in the fullness of it. In the mighty name of Jesus. God loves you. Start walking in it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Mm. Praise the Lord. What a powerful message tonight.
Thank the Lord.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. And God is so good. And he is on the move. And he loves
Amen.
Us. And, mm-hmm. and he loves us. And he has good things for us now. We don't have to wait until we die. And so...
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Marlon, for sharing with us tonight and being with us here on this radio tonight.
Yeah, we love it. I appreciate it, guys. Man, I appreciate the outlet.
Yes, yes. Well, we appreciate you.
I love it.
Woo, Marlon, tell us one more time how to get in touch with you there in Perryton at your church.
Okay. Victory Family Church. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 1267 here in Perryton. Our church number is 806-435-3476. If anybody's in this area listening that wants to call the church for prayer or something that we can do for you, man, let me tell you something. We'll bless you. We'll help you, the way God has helped us. And that's just, that's just what our heart is just saying right now, that we're preaching the gospel. It's good news.
And you're easy to find, too.
Easy to find, right on the corner, 24th and Main Street, right in Perryton, Texas, Victory Family Church.
Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us tonight, and thank you guys for tuning in for another episode. We'll be back next week.
And remember all of our previous episodes, or at least the last 15 that we're allowed to archive on the website,
yes,
are there for you to listen to. You can listen to them through the website. You can also click and download them to listen to them later. You can share them with your friends. And so that's what they're there for. And the tonight's broadcast will be there before we go home tonight. So.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Thank you, guys, and have a good night.
All right. We'll see you next week again.